This is Ms. G. I am bringing you Telling Tales here tonight at 104.3 Juneau, Alaska. And I have two nice short stories for the holiday season. One is by Paula Gail Benson. It's Mr. Claude North, a holiday short story. And I'll give you a moment to get settled, and I'll get settled too. And I'll be right back with Telling Tales here at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. This is Ms. G. I'm back with Telling Tales here at 104.3 in Juneau. I wanted to first make an announcement. Rouge Canadier is having an open mic and poetry slam this Friday, December 19th at Kindred Post. It starts at 6:30 p.m. Kindred Post is 145 South Franklin downtown. And the event will be hosted by Connor Lindrum and Christy Namay or Erickson with DJ Manu. It's open to poets and performers of all ages and all abilities. You can sign up to read at 6 p.m. You can learn more about them at www.facebook.com/whooshpoetry. That's W-O-O-S-H. Okay. So now, on to our story for tonight. Our first one is called Mr. Claude North, a holiday short story by Paula Gail Benson. I had put it off as long as I could. To finish my retirement paperwork required either my Social Security card, which was packed somewhere, probably in a box in the attic, or evidence I had applied for a replacement. When I was employed 30 years ago, I didn't have to show the card. But now, after all that time working and paying taxes with the number, my employer needed proof it belonged to me. Here I was, firmly embedded, a cog in the system, and ending my career with a final act of obedience to governmental control. The locally owned office supply company where I had progressed from young man with a future to relic slated for the recycling bin have been bought out by a national franchise. I would no doubt keep rolling along with a new spoke to replace me in the wheel. Already it had been one of those regrettable days, even though the morning was young. I came out to my car only to find the electric company cutting down the small trees in its right-of-way, which in essence took all the autumnally colored foliage from my backyard. The head of the tree destruction crew could hardly keep a straight face talking with me. He kept glancing at my cap. I had worn the bright chartreuse and forest brown knit cap with ear flaps my wife, Liddy, had given me for my birthday. It reminded her of my favorite movie character, that Quaid brother who played the crazy flyer in Independence Day. But it also kept my balding head warm in the chilly weather. She put it on me just before I left the house, placing a cool hand on each of my blushing facial cheeks. She told me, "Tommy, Leslie, the aliens may have taken you on their spaceship, but inside you'll always be just a good old guy with a hero martyr complex." Then she gave me a kiss. The day had such potential until I walked outside. After losing the fight over trees that were in no way tall enough to fall on power lines, I drove down the street and a black cat ran in front of me. In town, I discovered the federal building's public parking garage ticket machine was out of order. But after taking a turn around the block, I saw an attendant fixing the machine. She printed out a ticket for me and told me to come park in one of the reserved spaces next to her booth. My day seemed to be looking up. As I approached the federal building, I saw a group of daycare kids playing on swing sets and slides in a fenced area. Someone walked up beside me. I heard a male voice say, "Man, what a great cat." I turned, expecting sarcasm, but the African-American gentleman before me was one up on me. His short, bristling gray beard hung like cropped Spanish moss on brown rusted stone. On his head, he wore a thin red Santa cap with sparse white trim and a single gold bell at the point. His brown suede jacket looked a size small with bulging pockets. He gave me a smile as he bent to let his back take the brunt of the wind whipping around the building. "Yours isn't so bad either," I said. "Aren't you a little early? Thanksgiving's not until next week." "I always make a trip over here the week before Thanksgiving because that's when my son's office starts his toy drive," he replied. "I like to help get the ball rolling. You know, it's always easier to encourage others to give it a few toys already in the hopper." Beneath his right arm, he held a teddy bear. I hadn't noticed since the bear nearly matched the color of his jacket. A woman leaving the building walked towards us. He reached to remove his hat and called to her, "Mighty nice coat, ma'am. Looks real warm and elegant." "Thank you," she returned his greeting and kept walking. He kept a half ring of gray hair around the base of his skull, but I could see he probably wore a hat for the same reason I did, to cover a naked scalp. He put it back on and we headed into the building, stopping immediately inside to hear the instructions about passing through the metal detector. I had purposely stripped down to carrying the bare essentials, remembering my last visit, but the man had to keep returning to empty his pockets. They held a bag of jacks, a glittering yo-yo, a whistle on a neon string, and a small silver snowflake pin in a box. "Gotta be stocking up this time of year," he said, laughing. "We need you to put the bear in the container, too," the security officer told him, "to run it through the detector." "Certainly. Did you ever work with my son, Andre North? "No, sir. I don't recall that name." "He used to work here in the federal building, taking that bear to his office's toy drive." "That's nice. Now just step this way so I can check with the wand." Before letting him through, security also located some loop earrings and a bracelet, both in Christmas boxes. As for me, I was admitted without issue. We parted at the elevator, me to the 11th floor, while he disappeared around the corner. Surprisingly, my wait was minimal, with the paperwork I needed in hand, I returned to the ground floor in a half hour. Just in time to come face-to-face with a competitor, Charles Eloff, who worked for Scott and Sons Office Supply. "Tom," he greeted me, "is what I hear true? Your shop's being bought out by Modern Marketplace?" I could barely say yes before he wanted to know if I would be staying on. I told him I had gotten a retirement incentive package. I didn't tell him my boss was selling out because Modern Marketplace had agreed to put his nephew in charge of the office it acquired. "Listen, Mr. Scott is coming into town today for a birthday celebration. He would love to steal someone with your skills out from under Modern Marketplace. You haven't signed a non-competitive clause, have you?" I hadn't. We talked for a few minutes, and I had a tentative appointment to meet with Harris Scott in half an hour to talk about a new career with Scott & Sons Office Supply. My mood had improved considerably. As I headed for the door, I noticed the man in the Santa hat was in front of me. "I see we made it out at the same time," I said, trying to be cordial. "Yes, we sure did. You're the man with the good-looking cap." I stopped to put it back on. "Like you. Wonder if I might ask you a favor." My defenses were alerted. Working downtown, I was used to fending off panhandlers. I hadn't expected of this man, but then you never know. "You see, I need to get back to my house to meet a friend who wants me to help with his yard. My wife brought me downtown, but she had just taken her diuretic, you know. She has trouble with her leg swelling. And when she takes her medicine, well, sir, she likes to stay near the accommodations, if you know what I mean. I kept walking. He kept up with me. I have $5 for the bus, but it won't come for a bit. Might you be driving? I hated to admit it, but it was clear I was heading to the garage. Yes. Can I impose on you for a ride? I'm just behind the Midlands Tech School, not too far. I know where you mean, but my office is just a few blocks away. I'm expected at work. That's fine. I don't mean to cause any trouble. I can just wait. I looked at the man. Like me, a more than middle-aged guy in a weird hat. Who was I fooling? I felt a ray of hope in Eloff and possibly Scott being interested in me. But probably it would be an opportunity for them to gloat instead of offer me a job. Nobody was looking for me at my own office. In a month, I'd be gone from the office supply business and no one would miss me. I'd watched this guy in a Santa hat go through the metal detector in front of me. Obviously, he wasn't carrying a gun, or it would have been discovered. It would take me 20 minutes to drop him off and then get back to work. My wife, Liddy, knows me too well. Inside, I'm just a guy with a hero martyr complex. Okay, I'll drive you, I said to him. Thank you. Thank you so much. We walked to the garage. The attendant charged me $7 for parking. The man offered me his $5, but I wouldn't take it. In the car, as we were driving toward his house, he made a point of introducing himself. I'm Mr. Claude North. Live on Faith Street. Be pleased if you ever wish to visit. Thanks, but I know that's just a cover. I glanced over to see a crinkle develop between his eyebrows. Beg pardon, he asked. I looked back at him and smiled. I saw all those toys you pulled out of your pocket. I wouldn't have been surprised if you told me you were Mr. Claus instead of Mr. Claude. I know an alias when I hear one. He chuckled in response. Yes, wouldn't you know my wife's maiden name was Sandra Pohl? We both laughed at that. Then he continued, I live in a neighborhood with people of a different complexion from mine, if you know what I mean. You mean like my complexion, I asked. I could feel him looking over at me. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him shake his head. No, you're tan and healthy, like you've been working in the yard or playing golf. Folks in this neighborhood are a couple shades paler. Took them a while to get used to my wife, son, and me. I nodded, not sure how to respond. Wanted to be there so my son could go to the tech school. He did well, too. In criminal justice, had a clerical job with the Department of Justice, but hoped someday to join the FBI. That's great. Yes, sir. The missus and I miss him something awful. He was our only one. I'm sure you must. He was the one to start the toy drive. His office keeps it up every year in his honor. That's why I always go on the first day. Terrific. Yes, we used to go to the Baptist church across the road there, he pointed. It's a white congregation, you know. Shook people up real good when we first started coming. But after they saw we just wanted to worship like anybody else, they treated us like any other members, even offered the place for my son's funeral. Though he'd been bantering around, I hadn't been focused on what he had been saying. I'd been thinking about my poor old retiring self, so his words surprised me. Your son passed? Yes, some time ago. I'm so sorry. Thank you. For a moment, he seemed lost in thought. Andre finished high school, he continued, and then went for a stint in the Marines. Good training for him. Loved that Toys for Tots program they had. That's why he started the toy drive in his office. He also belonged to a reserve unit. Was one of the first responders for 9/11. Lost him while he was helping out in New York. But not from the rescue or recovery work. No, he got killed in a taxi accident. Although he spoke quietly, matter-of-factly, I sensed a deep undercurrent of pride in his words. Then I began to wonder what it must have been like for Andre to grow up as Mr. Claude North's son, how it must have felt for the young man to attend an all-white church with his folks. Andre must have learned from his dad how to become a man who would start a Christmas toy drive. Neither of us spoke for a moment. Did you have it there at the Baptist church? The funeral, I mean? I said, breaking the silence. No. He paused a moment, then continued. Andre was such a good soul, liked to do for others. Told me in his last call from New York that being able to contribute gave him a sense of worth at a time when we all felt so helpless. That's how my wife and I keep going now, you know, trying to find a way to contribute. Unable to come up with an appropriate response, I just nodded. From his time in the Marines, he qualified for burial in a military cemetery. We took him to Beaufort, since the one in Columbia hadn't been started yet. Thought he'd like being near the coast. I'm sure he would. Yeah, Andre always was patriotic and loved the ocean. The neighbors, they were kinder to us after we lost him. Went to leaving gifts on our porch. Never had any tags or anything saying who left them. Wish they had. I would like to thank those who do for me. He gave me some directions, and before long we pulled up to a small gray house. Now you feel free to come by and visit any time. You'll remember the name, won't you? Mr. Claude North. I'll remember that's what you told me, but I already told you what I thought. Santa Claus, he laughed, and the words jolly old elf came to my mind. You're a funny one, he told me. Don't you lose that fine cap, you hear? As Mr. Claude North walked toward his front door, I saw a woman push aside a curtain and look out. She had gray hair, blue eyes, and a creamy white face with the happiest smile. I drove off, thinking about the neighbors bringing anonymous gifts, and figured it was their way of saying thank you to the Norths for all that family had given to the community, the country, maybe even the world. I decided I had enough evidence to believe in Santa Claus, even though the government needed my Social Security card to believe in me. That was Mr. Claude North, a holiday short story by Paula Gail Benson. And you can find, if you want, more of her stories on the website Writers Who Kill, blogspot.com. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at KTOO 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And I will be right back. Stay tuned. And hello, this is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight with a second story. It's entitled Spoiling Christmas by Bert Goolsby. My brother Tommy sat to the side of the lid that covered one of the two eyes of the trash burner stove that heated our bedroom. He shook several pieces of coal from a bucket into the stove and replaced the lid. In a few minutes, the added fuel would make the stove glow bright red and produce a heat hot enough to smelt iron ore. Brother, he said, his backside to the stove, I bet you I know something you don't. What? I said from my bed where I lay reading. I know how we can find out what we're going to get for Christmas. No, you can't neither. Tommy's blue eyes danced and a grin spread across his round face. I can too, because I know where Mama hid them at. Want me to show you? I set the book down. Where? He pointed to the ceiling. Up there, in the attic over our closet. Christmas lay only 3 days off. Did I really want to know right then what surprises Christmas Day held in store for us? Did I want to risk spoiling my Christmas? I wasn't sure, so I hesitated. I just don't know. Tommy grinned again. They're from Bloomberg's. That did it. Now I had to find out. Bloomberg's was the best department store in town. But first I had to make sure they really did come from there. How you know they did? Tommy stepped away from the trash burner. I saw Mama go in our room carrying two big sacks from there. How you know they're for us? Because she didn't have them when she come out. I figured maybe she'd hid them in the attic since I didn't see no other place else. And if they weren't for us, then what'd she hide them for? That made sense. Although the contents in the sack still could have been intended as gifts for someone other than Tommy and me. Daddy, for instance, or our older sister Marianne. If they weren't meant for us, then no harm would be done in our looking at them, I reasoned. Oh, all right, I said, swinging my leg to the floor. It won't hurt nothing to see what she got. Tommy pulled a chair from his desk, set it inside the closet, placed a footstool from the living room on the chair seat, and climbed up. I worried he would fall any second and injure himself. He wobbled so. He grunted as he stretched and reached for the trapdoor cord. Once the trapdoor fell open, Tommy hoisted himself into the attic. I'm in, he said, all out of breath, his legs dangling through the doorway. A new worry took hold. What if Mama comes home? I asked as I waited for him to turn on the attic light. She ain't gonna come. Well, what if she does? She's gone to the A&P, left about 5 minutes ago. Didn't you hear her tell us? When Mama went to the A&P, she'd usually stay gone for an hour or more. Other than going to church every time the doors opened, she liked shopping at the A&P best. Tommy withdrew his short legs and disappeared from my view. A quiet settled within the closet until I heard Tommy step away from the trapdoor and give the light chain a hard yank. I next heard the rustle of paper. Hey, brother, Tommy yelled, his voice full of excitement. They're ours, all right. One sack's got your name on it. The other's got mine. Which one do you want me to look in first? Just tell me what's in yours, I said, now having second thoughts. We're getting the same thing, he said. He sounded exasperated. Of course we were getting the same thing. We always did. Come on down from up there. I don't think I want to know anymore. Tommy's head and upper body appeared over the trapdoor. Here, catch this. He tossed down a cardboard box. The label on the box said it contained a paratrooper doll made of cloth and stuffed cotton. That is yours, he said. What about it? What about it? I felt disappointed, that's what. And Christmas wasn't even here yet. I should have realized just because the gifts came from Bloomberg's didn't mean I'd like them. Anyway, what I'd want was a toy paratrooper. I didn't ask for it, and I felt too old for dolls of any kind. Like every boy in the United States of America who didn't own one, I wanted a BB gun, a real present. I also wanted a pair of roller skates. But with the war against Germany and Japan having ended a few months before, I knew I wouldn't get either of those things, unless they were secondhand, and even those were hard to come by. Is that it? Is that all we're getting? I asked as I tossed the box back up to him. Nah, there's a couple of other things, too. I see a belt. My brother's feet and legs slipped through the hole above me. Oh, yeah, you've also got a Bible coming, he said as his feet found the stool. I couldn't believe my ears. An even deeper letdown feeling swept over me on Tommy's mention of the Bible. A Bible, you say? A New Testament one. I grimaced as Tommy stepped to the floor. You sure that's for me? Well, it's in your sack. Christmas morning 1945 held only one surprise for my brother and me. In addition to the items we had earlier found, we got a small canvas tent. It did little to lessen my disappointment. But the disappointment I felt that day faded over the years. The paratrooper doll fell into disuse. I outgrew the belt. And my brother, our playmates, and I soon tore up the tent. And what of my New Testament? I still have it. Today it occupies a prominent place on my office desk. Inside the back cover and scribbled by the hand of a 10-year-old are these words. 1945. Christmas tent. Paratrooper and a belt. I failed to list the New Testament itself, the gift that had disappointed me the most. But just as the rejected stone that Jesus spoke about in Mark 12:10 became the cornerstone, The New Testament that I got on that long ago Christmas day became one of my most treasured possessions. Each time I look at it, I am reminded of a loving mother and father who gave me something that would link me to the past, sustain me in the present, and offer me the promise of a future. That was Spoiling Christmas by Bert Goolsby. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska, and I will be right back.
Stay tuned.
This will be released.
This is Telling Tales with Ms. G. Stewart at KTO 104.3. And I want to reread the PSA about the Poetry Slam for this Friday, December 19th. Rouge Canadier at Kindred Post. Sign-ups start at 6 p.m. and readings begin at 6:30 p.m. Kindred Post is located at 145 South Franklin, downtown Juneau. So hopefully you'll go there and have a good time. This is Ms. G, giving you Telling Tales here tonight at KTO 104.3. Until next time, good night.